likes to touch himself. Dracula hates the Welsh. They're the two weirdest guys near ya. So come and bask in their power for about an hour. It's Atomic Disaster Theater.
You gotta overcome things in life. Because as we all know, life is a goro. It's a big, muscular, four-armed fucker who wants to grab you with its lower two arms and then beat you up with its upper two arms. And that's not good. And that's not particularly fair, I would say. But in life, we all have our goros. And we're tasked with overcoming said goros. It's not easy. And sometimes you have to dig deep and you have to fight and you have to scrape and you have to claw and you have to do whatever it is that you can do to fell your own personal goro. And, I don't normally get personal on these podcasts that I like to do because I'm a man of mystery, obviously. But every now and again, I dig deep into my arsenal, my quiver of emotional arrows, and I go plink, plink, plank, and I shoot them in your general direction. When I was a kid, when I was really, really young, when I was retardedly young, when I was at that stage of development where I was nigh a zygote, we'll say, I remember I had a speech impediment. I actually went to speech class when I was really super young, because my ethith would sound like this. Because I was fucking retarded, and so I had to go to a class, and I'll never forget this. The teacher would always say, "Dave, pull your pants up. Stop splitting your pants." I'm sorry. I just remembered when I was young, like I had a real problem splitting my pants. I guess it was like my special move or something. Not only did I say my ethith like this, I also would split my fucking pants all the time. And you know, you're never going to get sex in second grade doing that. I mean, maybe around some teachers, you know. It's like, oh, I dropped my pencil. And then you just bend over real slow and then it's the gorgeous young Dave second grade ass hanging out. But my teacher student fantasies aside, I remember my speech pathologist. I don't know why I wanted to say the phrase speech pathologist. It just sounded right. It just sounded right. We're all about doing what feels right here. And I remember my speech teacher would say, "Dave, you have to keep your tongue down. You have to keep your tongue in jail. You have to trap the tongue, Dave. Keep your tongue down, because that's why, you know, you do ethith like this, because your tongue is desperately trying to escape your face. And if you had a face that looked like mine, your tongue would react accordingly." Just constantly planning jailbreaks all the time. So that, of course, was something that I had to remedy. And this was my goro. Well, actually, this was one of my 19 goro. I kind of have a battalion of goros. Many people just fight a single goro. I fight gorai, just dozens and dozens. I defeat one of them and then just 19 others just hold me down and just butt hump me ruthlessly again and again and again in Earthrealm and others as well. But again, my fan fiction aside, so I would trap the tongue. And now obviously at such a young, tender age, you know, having to go up against a personal Goro already, just already, that's pretty tough, man. That's a big ask for a small child. But, you know, I was always a dreamer, always a rebel, always one to fight my own battles and the battles of others. And I conquered my Goro at a very young, I mastered it. I was like, well, you know, trap the tongue, gotcha, I'm out. And then I hiked up my knickers, immediately split my pants, and was on my motherfucking way. And here we are. Now, I'm sure, noble listener, you out there are clapping, you know, at my heroism, my youthful vigor, my inability to keep the seam of my pants intact. I know you're out there and you're awed, you're floored by my toughness, my sternness, my willingness to win and all that stuff. And I wouldn't surprise you for being so blown away, but it's probably not good to peak pre-second grade, because that was probably my last big win over a Goro. And it's been rough since then, but more times than not, my S's will be a little bit under control because I've trapped the tongue. You know, my tongue is firmly in my face now. There's no way it's getting out. Every now and again, I'll wake up and, you know, I'll see it slithering towards the door. And I'll be like, hey, get back here, you. And back in the cabeza it goes. Betwixt my snake-like jaws, my serpent-like jaws. And we're back. We're back in action. We're back in action here. But much like actual Goro, life Goros are pretty relentless, and they'll come after you. And you gotta get beyond yourself in a lot of ways. And you can't be afraid to fail, because Goros are big and they got more arms than you. So you're gonna get smashed around a little bit. That's fine. That's just kind of the way it goes. Some people, like Dave, get smashed around a lot. Dare I say, all the fucking time. But that doesn't mean you can't dig down deep, grab a hold of your little tiny baby nuts, and slip in a win every now and again. You know, like in wrestling, you know, when they do like a little, like a little sneaky pin, you know, a little schoolboy. Not that type of schoolboy, not the sensual schoolboy like my split pants analogy / fantasy, but the wrestling maneuver, you know, when you like that happens every now and again. You can get one over on Goro like that sometimes, and it feels good. And it feels good to conquer your own personal Goro and it gives you some courage. It gives you some confidence a little bit to face new, more armed Goros, you know, and then maybe you'll get a Kentaro every now and again. I mean, personally, all right, if we're talking Mortal Kombat sub-bosses, I'm Team Goro all day long, you know, like generally speaking, I think Kentaro kind of sucks. Like if you put both of them side by side, and I've never seen any of these people before, and you're like, Dave, which one of these four-armed, you know, monsters looks cooler to you? I'd probably say Kentaro, probably. But knowing what I know and being brought up the way I was brought up in Mortal Kombat, I'm so Goro. I'm definitely a Goro guy because I love, there's an art to this and it's really beautiful. And I love when games or movies or what have you do this. And it's classic, it's timeless, and it pretty much always works unless you really, really go out of your way to fuck it up. The concept of sub boss, big boss, right? You have you have Darth Vader, okay, and then you have the Emperor, who's like the bad guy. Sure, Darth Vader's bad, you know, he's a bad dude. But he's not the Emperor. The Emperor's the Emperor, and the Emperor's the one you really got to worry about, right? He'll kill your gardener, is what he'll do. I think that was in a book. It was the one with Prince Xizor, the Fallen guy. Was it Shadows of the Empire or something like that? The one with Dash Rendar, who's just a Han Solo clone in reverse. They're like, oh, we need an expendable character that we can kill in this fucking story. He'll be just like Han Solo. His ship looks just like Han Solo's ship, except Han Solo hates droids. This guy will love droids. And then when Dash Rendar died, I'm sorry, I'm so sidetracked, but that's fine. We're just going to go this way instead. I remember in Shadow of the Empire, it was so stupid. I read the book after I played the N64 game. Because I was like, what is this? Like this didn't, none of this happened in Star Wars. And then I kind of was like, oh wait, there are books about this shit. And let me look into some of this. And so I read Shadows of the Empire. It was okay. I like that it, I mean, I might be getting this mixed up with the Thrawn trilogy, but I don't think I am. I think I'm Prince Xizor's Shadows of the Empire, right? Probably. I don't know. I was just happy for a fucking Star Wars thing that was just a book, just one, no fucking three books, five books, nine book sets. No, just here's a Star Wars book about some, you know, some snake man. That's fine. Give me that. Give me more of that, please. But Dash Rendar sucks. He just sucked. He was just a guy, a new character to die real quick. And then I remember when he did die in the book, sorry, spoiler alert, but Dash Rendar dies in Shadows of the Empire. And I remember like Luke is watching from the ship he's in and it's like some big space battle or something. And then Dash Rendar just blows up, his ship just blows up in space or gets killed by a TIE fighter or somebody throws a rock at him or something. I don't know what happened. And the ship blows up, and then Luke is just like, Luke's thinking to himself, oh wow, Dash Rendar died. His I just felt his life essence be snuffed out. Like, that's it. He was this being, this living, breathing being, and now he's gone. Now he's one with the Force. Oh well. And then he moves on with his life and never, ever, ever thinks about Dash Rendar again because who has the time? Luke is like, you know what? I'd love to go to the funeral, Dash, but I got to go to speech class. Sorry, you know, Yoda's helping me trap the Sarlacc there and do all sorts of things like that. But Shadows of the Empire was pretty neat. I liked Prince Xizor. He was cool. He was a Fallen guy. They're like lizardy guys. He was a green man. And he had, but the whole Shadows of the Empire, some of it was kind of dumb. See, okay. All right. I'm sorry. So sidetracked, but fuck it. I like Shadows of the Empire because it introduced new things. All right. I'm normally not a fan of following around main characters from movies in books. I don't put any stock or Creedence Clearwater Revival in any of the Star Wars Expanded Universe shit. To me, my Star Wars stories are just as valid as, you know, heir to the empire or whatever the fuck. And if you're out there and you're like, but Dave, George Lucas said they're all canon. Oh, yeah. And then Disney came and said, no, they're not. You know why? Because they're fucking, it's all fanfic. It's all stupid. If it doesn't, if they didn't make a fucking movie about it and said movie was not called episode 4, 5, or 6, I dismiss you. I just think I do not recognize anything, nothing, not a single thing as legitimate Star Wars fare besides the original movies. And go, I'm sorry. That's my truth. Okay? That's my truth. So I would like you to respect my truth and also ignore anything that is not those three movies. Please, because yes. Because yes. So I'm generally not a fan of that, but I do like new characters. All right? And Shadows of the Empire, Prince Zizor was a cool bad guy. He was neat. It was kind of a neat dynamic because Prince Zizor was like the head of this criminal organization called Black Sun, like the Black Sun Syndicate or something like that. I don't remember. And much like, you know, like you had the Emperor and then you had Vader, who was like, you know, the Emperor's like enforcer, right? Zizor had his enforcer too. And it was cool because same dynamic, you know, you got the big bad and then you got the sidekick going back to, you know, Shang Tsung is the big bad evil karate wizard in Mortal Kombat, and his right hand dude is this four-armed dragon man named Goro, right? Big and strong. So you have like, it's Vader and the Emperor, like it's the same thing, right? The Emperor's crusty and he's the crusty old sorcerer. And then he has his muscle, like his strong, powerful, intimidating muscle, Darth Vader. And you have Shang Tsung, the evil, old, crusty karate wizard. And he's got his big, intimidating fucking Goro. Okay? So Zizor had a robot. Or a cyborg? No, a robot. She was a robot. But she was like indistinguishable from a person or something. I don't know. She was like this hot blonde lady. Her name was like Guri, G-U-R-I, Guri, Gugu, Gigi. I call her Gigi. But yeah. And then so like throughout the book, you know, she's like this fucking robot girl. She looks just like a human, but she's a robot. And she's a Data, pretty much, I guess, but not so like weird look, not like a possessed robot, but it's just a blonde lady. Just forget the robot thing. It doesn't even matter. She cost like 8 billion credits. I had her card, her Star Wars customizable card game card, because after they cannibalized all the movies and made 900 cards out of every single minute of the fucking movies, they started going into expanded universe shit, and then the game just fucking flew off the rails. But anyway, on a side note, I remember when I was big into the Star Wars customizable card game, and the Death Star 2 set came out. See? Because when that card game was out, they would release sets following the timeline of the original three movies, you know, the only ones that matter. And so they would have like A New Hope, and then that card set would be, you know, just people and shit that happened in A New Hope. And then, you know, instead of doing, see, what they did was they were like, okay, we're going to do a Star Wars card game and we're going to do it in sets. So the first set is going to be A New Hope, or I think they, no, Premiere? I forget. Anyway, first, it was like the whole first movie, and they were like, okay, A New Hope, here's the card set. Cool. And then we're going to move on. So are we going to do an Empire Strikes Back card set? And they're like, wait, stop. I have ex-wives, and they need money. And I'd like a sailboat also. Instead of doing a whole set of just one movie, we can just kind of bleed this out through numerous sets. So instead, they chopped up the movies from then on and did sets based on like, so they had like a set for Hoth and it was just Hoth stuff. And then they did Cloud City and it was just Cloud City. So like they chopped, you know, the first set was the whole movie and then they bled you pretty much for whatever they could. And then once they went completely through everything, I think they did like Endor and I believe the last set, official-ish set, was Death Star 2. And then after that, they were like, oh, let's do a special edition set. And then they went and did like the prequels and you could have like Darth Maul fighting alongside Darth Vader. And I was like, you know what? This is gay. I don't want to do this anymore. And I stopped. But I remember when Death Star 2 came out and I did... Because I played dark side, obviously, because I'm very strong with the dark side of the force. Duh. Look at me, right? I'm bald. And we all know there's no good bald people on Earth anyway, or in fiction, you know, in reality or fiction that we just, if you're bald, you're bad, right? Vader was bald. I'm sure the emperor didn't have like a nice full head of hair or anything. Oh no, wait, they did show his hair. Not in the original. Well, he was probably bald in the movies that matter anyway. But yeah, so I remember when Death Star 2 came out, I was like, I got to get the Emperor, obviously. And this was at a time where, like nowadays, it sucks now. Well, I mean, it doesn't suck, but it does suck. Because like if I was into a customizable card game, like, oh, I don't know, Magic the Gathering or whatever the fuck. And I mean, you know, I've played Magic before, obviously. I mean, come on. Look in these eyes and tell me I haven't tapped some mana or two in my day. But nowadays, you can just buy whatever you want. You know what I mean? If I could just go browsing and put together whatever deck I wanted. You know what I mean? When I was coming up in this, just a boy in the world with a pair of split motherfucking pants and a speech impediment, you couldn't do that. If you wanted good cards, you had to buy packs and pray to the heavens above that Lady Luck was on your side. She never was, obviously. But that's okay. I had credit cards back then. So when Death Star 2 came out, I was like, well, okay, I'm getting Emperor Palpatine. Like it was the, you know, this is his fucking set. It's Death Star 2. Finally, the Emperor is in this game. And I was like, I'm getting the Emperor. So I remember we went to a store. We drove to a store that's a dork store that sold all this shit. Because again, how old was I at the time? Hold on. Let me look this up. When did the Death Star 2 Star Wars CCG set come out? 2000. 2000. God damn. I was... 22 years ago. Holy cow. Anyway, my goodness. I didn't think it was going to be that long ago. But anyway, so I was pretty excited about this, as you could imagine. And we went to the dork store. Now, keep in mind, this is before Amazon, whatever. If you wanted something, you had to fucking go get it. All right. And I remember we went to the store. And I just kept buying packs until I got them. Okay. It was an expensive day. I think all told, I want to say I spent like $250 on card packs to get Emperor. Most of that was Death Star 2 packs to get the Emperor. But I did buy some other shit while I was there. But I remember distinctly the total was around $250 or $260 That was the damage at the end of the day. Let's just say my priorities are sketchy. We can say that. But as Akeem from Coming to America so wisely said, it's good to get what you want or something. He said something eloquent that I don't remember. No journey is too long if you find what you seek. Something like that. I don't know. But it had to do with, he was talking about spending $250,000 to get Emperor Palpatine and start. I know that's what he meant. I know. Obviously that's what he meant. Obviously. If you actually play Coming to America backwards, that whole part, he's just talking about Star Wars. It's pretty wild. It's pretty crazy. But anyway, so back to, and I remember when the Magic the Gathering set Mirage came out and I wanted a Crimson Hellkite so bad. And I spent like $50 on Magic the Gathering Mirage packs to get a Crimson Hellkite. I ended up getting a Crimson Hellkite later on. I like traded for it. I think I touched my friend's butt a couple of times and he gave it to me, but, allegedly. And, I didn't get it when I bought that much. And you'll say like, well, Dave, $50, that's, you know, whatever. But I mean, at the time, I think I was still in high school at the time. Again, when I did my Emperor Palpatine quest, I had plastic on me, but, to just go with like 50. All right. See, now I'm curious. When did the Magic? Yeah. Really exciting podcast, right? Just me Googling shit. When did the Magic the Gathering set Mirage come out? October 1996. So I was 16 years old. I mean, $50 when you're 16 to get a Magic card that you didn't get. That's a rough day. That's a rough day. Anyhow. So yeah. Robots. So Prince Izor is a snake man. No, not really. Yeah, kind of a snake man. And he has like a robot that he spent like 8 billion credits for or something like that. Something ridiculous like that. A lot of money that he spent. And it's a robot. And the whole book, you're like, wow, this robot can really like kick butt. She seems really tough. There's like a part where he's having like a criminal meeting or something. And she like, I remember she puts like some alien in a headlock or something and breaks his neck or rips, I don't know, whatever. But I was like, oh, cool. They're building her up. Like she's a big deal. And then, like she ends up fighting Luke at the end. And then he just like trips her. And then she's like, do it, kill me. And I'm like, what? That's it. That's all you got. I think like Luke like did like a leg sweep or something and she was like, ah, no, my Achilles heel are my heels. You leg sweep me, you win. Sizor wouldn't pay the extra billion credits to reinforce my heels, I guess. My ankles. So you win, Luke. You win this round. I was like, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about this, about all this. But yes, every boss, every last boss needs a Goro, right? Every Shang Tsung needs a Goro. And in Mortal Kombat 2, like Mortal Kombat 2, love it. Changed my life. I owe my life to Mortal Kombat 2. It's phenomenal, fantastic in so many ways. So great. Improved upon the original in so many different ways. But. Kentaro. That's a little bit of a rip. It's like, oh, we're going to take Goro. We're going to put some fucking tiger stripes on him. We're going to make him a kitty man. Look, it's Peter Chris with four arms. Yeah, that's a little lazy, I feel. You know, and two, like Shao Kahn was really cool, great. You know, because you had, and that's, again, this is so perfect. I mean, and Star Wars did this so great because you watch the first Star Wars movie and you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, it's fucking Darth Vader. It can't get any worse than this. Just look at him. Listen to him. He's got a red sword. It can't get more evil than that. And then you hear about this Emperor character and you're like, what's all this about? I thought we had agreed that it can't get more evil than Darth Vader, but you're wrong. Because then they introduced the Emperor. See, that's good. That's good. And Mortal Kombat, they did the same thing. They had Shang Tsung. They had Goro. And like, haha, I am Shang Tsung. This is my karate island. Welcome to Kung Fu Island. Let us fight for the safety of your realm. And then he fails, and Liu Kang wins, and then in Mortal Kombat 2, Shang Tsung's boss shows up and is like, okay, now I'm here. I'm not giving this to my underlings now. Now I'm going to do this myself. And I remember Young Dave. Young Dave's mind was blown and his pants were split right down the middle. The fairest pants splitter you ever seen is me. Atomic Disaster Theater, episode 136. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Dave, when's the last time you eradicated a pair of pants? Just right down the middle. It's been a while. It's been a bit. I don't know what it is. I guess when you're packing so much fucking heat, all right, there's nowhere else for all that sexual energy, all that girth to go, but right through seams. Just like, how can you contain, you know, a crotch rhino like this? How can you? You can't. All right. So even at a young age, just unstable, just sexually unstable all around. That's once more, that's my cross to bear. You know, I come here. I try to talk through it. I try to talk through it, but I'm not just sitting here splitting my pants all by my lonesome. Heavens to Betsy Nosey's sitting directly to my left, looking horrendously hell-kite-ish, looking terrifically Tarkatan. He is the man of the hour, the Tower of Power. He'll devour toddlers. He is the one, the only, the immortal. Count Dracula, what it is, Count. What it is and what it will be. The floor is yours. Sweep it. Good evening. It's very nice to be here today, Dave. Your story about your speech impediment was rather uplifting. You thought so, huh? I knew it. It's very Rocky-esque in a lot of ways, you know? Like, my speech teacher would beat the shit out of me and give me concussions and stuff like that. So, you know, but it worked. I mean, I'm living proof. Here I am, talking good. Duh. I'm glad that you found it pretty uplifting.
No, actually, I meant your progression from splitting your pants to just straight up not wearing any.
You know, that too is an evolution of Dave. You could very sexually say that. Yes, Count. I do have a bit of a ban on pantaloons while we're recording here. Obviously, as my sexy legs can attest right now, I see you looking. Your eyes glow in the dark, Count. I don't know if you know this. I know exactly. I mean, I could tell. You sit there, you try to play it off, but I mean, I guess what else can you expect when you got a set of games like these, huh?
Right, Dave. Right.
Do you have a question for me?
I do. It's time for Ask Dave. Then I, Count Dracula, get to ask you, Dave. Any one question that you must answer completely and totally honestly.
I'm ready.
Dave, you talk a lot about these stupid, dorky card games. Which one is your favorite out of the ones that you have played?
Oh, Count. I think you just turned this into one of those episodes. I believe it or not, noble listener, I do take great pains to try to make this show somewhat listenable. And I realize fully that the vast, vast, vast majority of my interests and hobbies are, what's the word, repugnant to most human beings. And so I try to keep in mind what people would want to hear me talk about. So when I get into these little side jaunts where I'm talking about spending $250 of, Capital One's money on packs of Death Star 2 to get a single Emperor Palpatine card, I know that most people don't care about that sort of thing. So I try to kind of breeze past it. But, you know, just when I thought I was out, the Count just yanks me back to topics like this. So sorry. But yeah, it's going to be one of those shows. It's going to be one of those shows. I did have some kind of current event topic to talk about this week, but fuck that. Who cares? Who cares? Not me. Not this guy right here. So now we're going to talk about card games and stuff, which is just the best. I love it. Well, not anymore. I used to love it. But like everything else I love, it rots and dies and goes away. But that's fine. That's okay. I'll always have my gorgeous memories of all my lovely card games. I've been in my day, Count. I have been into a bunch of these games. I like Magic the Gathering, but we always run into, see, the customizable card game, no matter what game you're talking about, it always follows the same pattern and ends up running aground in the same the same kind of way, right? You have a game that starts out pretty basic, right? And the initial sets are kind of you're finding your voice, I guess, with the rules and how the game kind of plays and balance or whatnot. And then you kind of hit like a set that's like, hey, let's up this. So we could really make this game cool. We could really try some different things with this new set that'll really shake things up. And it evolves to a point where you're dealing with cards that are just fucking goofy. Like Spellfire is probably one of them. I don't know if I have a favorite card game. I could tell you the only one that I still own Like, I still have my cards. I didn't give them away or sell them when I moved, but I kept my Spellfire cards. Like, they meant something to me, so I still have all them. I have a couple of my Magic decks. You know, nothing really crazy or too special, but I do have a couple of Magic decks lying around that I kept. But none of like my other cards. Like, I kept my decks that were done, but I didn't keep my library of cards or whatever the fuck you call it. So in Spellfire, in the initial sets, a lot of the cards don't even have fucking game text. You know, if you buy like the initial set of Spellfire cards, it's like you'll get like a +3 ally. And like, you'll be lucky to have him. I don't know. And then as the game progresses and the rules get, you know, more and more involved, and the game kind of finds its voice, right? And you get to where, you know, oh, look, this is actually pretty in depth, pretty involved. And then, of course, we reach the point where ideas are, you know, getting a little hard to come up with new ideas for cards. So we start making things gradually more and more and more and more overpowered. And then you end up with a game that's not very enjoyable because people are just throwing down mind-shatteringly powerful cards every other turn. And that's just no fun. I remember there was a point in Spellfire where I would play a friend of mine, and we picked up some of the later sets. Around this time, like, eBay and stuff was starting to pick up steam. So we had access to sets that we just didn't have, you know, that they just didn't sell around us at dork stores and stuff. And I remember, like, at that point, we'd be playing and one of us would drop an ally or something like that, or cast a spell. And then the other person will be like, wait a minute, let me see that. That doesn't do that. And then we'd read it and be like, Jesus, this sucks. Let's do something else. And it gets like that. Like, Magic the Gathering always does that, because it'll fool me. Like, because every now and again, they'll go back and they'll like start from the beginning and just do a base set. You know, like, the last time they fooled me was with, I think, M10, I want to say. And at like around 2010. They did like a base set for Magic the Gathering. They started from scratch. They were like, all right, we're going to just fucking, here's the base set, simplify stuff. You know, we're not going to go too crazy. And there you go. And I was like, well, let me check this out. Let me see what this is about. And then I, you know, got crazy into it and stuff. And I played a lot of M10. And then they did what was a set after M10? Was it Zendikar? Something like that? I don't remember. And sure enough, you start getting a little kooky. Like, the cards are like, this is a little, I don't know. Like, I like a base kind of power level thing and cards not being too zany. And then it gets into this nuclear arms race as the sets kind of come out, and then it just becomes unfun. I don't know. And I think that's just the medium. That's just how these kind of card games work. The Vampire card game was fun, but you needed a lot of space. No, wait, I'm sorry. No, I'm thinking of the Star Wars card game. Yeah, because the Star Wars card game went like long lengthwise. You would put like sights down. So you'd have like a line of sights going across the table on different planets and stuff. And then at those sights, you'd have different people on different planets and different battles going on and stuff like that. So you needed a lot of room to play the Star Wars card game, because it could get up there. It could get crowded, let's say. But the Vampire one, you needed a lot of time. The Vampire one could, it really, like, it was a very methodical kind of game, very kind of slow paced. I didn't mind it so much. Like, it was kind of neat, but I don't know. Yeah, and I remember you had like discipline cards. You could, and you could kind of build your deck if you wanted to do like an all one clan deck or an all this discipline deck. You know, you could kind of make it was neat. It was cool. I like stuff like that where you can, you know, do themes. Themes are always good. Spellfire, oddly enough, you could do some. Like you could make a fairly powerful, like all wizard deck. I know a friend of mine, my friend I used to play with, tried to do an all cleric deck. It's always in Spellfire, it's best to mix everything up because, like, a lot of the really powerful cards are, some are champions, or no, some are heroes, some are, you know, monsters. There's a lot of really powerful monsters, there's a lot of wizards and stuff, and they even made like some thieves and psionists and stuff like that. Yeah, so it's best to just kind of mix it up. And also there's a lot of stuff in Spellfire where it's like automatically destroy, you know, defeats monsters, automatically defeats clerics, kill all monsters on the table. You know what I mean? So you don't want to do an all monster deck because there's a lot of things that target monsters in Spellfire. But what's my favorite one? I'm sorry, Count. I'm just waxing retarded over here about my gorgeous cards. Probably Spellfire. Magic can get frustrating. I would always have mana problems with Magic the Gathering all the time, to the point where I'd end up putting like 25 or 26 lands in my deck, and I'd always have 60 card decks. And I'd either be starved for mana or just have overflowing bounties of it. It was never an in-between. Like I remember a friend of mine my friend would put like 15 lands in his decks and be fine all the time. And it made me sick. And I would have to put like half my fucking deck of lands. And I don't play like multicolored decks. I only do single colored decks for this reason. And I still, I don't like that much with Magic. I like Spellfire because the games are really quick and you can, you know, you don't, there's no currency. There's no cost. It's like, if you have a card, you can fucking play it. If you have a hero, you can play it. If you have there's no buildup, I guess, in Spellfire. It's very direct. Like, if your opponent puts down a realm, you can attack them, and it's on. Games are very quick. They ramp up very quickly in Spellfire, and I don't know. I like that. I think it's cool. I think it's pretty cool. It's in Spellfire, you draw three cards every turn, so it's kind of like, you know, you always got stuff to work with. Magic the Gathering, I think it's like one card per turn. It's a little bit a little slow. Slow kind of, I don't know, it's Magic the Gathering, it's kind of like a boxing match, sort of, with Magic, like, you know, first couple of turns, you're just, you know, trying to get your mana situated, one playing a land per turn, can't really do anything too crazy too early, unless you have like a little goblin deck, you know, they're fun, or a little, you know, low mana creature deck, which are, I don't know, probably crazy by now anyway. Like, with, I can only imagine what's out now. If I got into any of this shit now, I'd just get my fucking shit pushed in by some like 11-year-old. But hey, that's evolution, Count. That's evolution. But I did really like the Star Wars. The Star Wars game was great. I really, really liked that a lot. Vampire one was really cool, but probably Spellfire. Spellfire is my baby. That's a great, 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 great card game. I liked it. I liked it a whole lot. And I remember, oh boy, this makes me smile every time. I know I've said this before, but fucking hell, give me a minute, will you? So my friend had this card he would play. It was called the Smoke Powder Pistol. It was a magic item. And I forget what it was. It was like a +5 magic item or something like that. And every once or when the person with the pistol would enter a battle, you would like draw a card and you would note the last number of the card, because each of the cards like were numbered. So you'd note the last number of the card and you would add that to like the character's level or something like that. I don't know. So it was like, you know, it was a pretty neat little magic item or whatever. It's nothing earth shattering or whatever, but it was cool enough, I guess. And I remember whenever, like, I think I was attacking him with an old character. Like the person I was attacking him with was old. I think it was like an old wizard character or something, an old wizard card. And then my friend played the smoke powder pistol and he said, "Eat lead, old man." And I was just delighted. And every time he played the smoke powder pistol, he would have to say, "Eat lead, old man." And I don't know. That made me very happy. It made me very happy indeed. So that was cool. And he had this one guy. Oh my goodness. I hated this. It was a psionist called, he had a real stupid name. He was one of the Gibbs. Gib Timsman, Hitimsman or something like that, because like the people who created the game would make like cards out of themselves, but it would be their name backwards. It would be like big something. So, and then they do it backwards and that would be the name of the card. So like any card that was Gib something was normally very good. So like, let's say if it was like, it would be like Gib Evad, like Big Dave, right? That would be like my card or whatever. Like they did that for their whatever. So the Gib cards are normally really good. And he had this psionist and it was like because the person's name was Nesmith, like their last name was Nesmith. So Big Nesmith backwards was like Gib Timsman or something like that. I don't remember, but he was a psionist. And every time he was in battle, every time, because see, some people, some Spellfire characters, like when they their special power happens, like when they attack, it'll say like, oh, when this person attacks, this happens, or when this person defends, this happens. But if it says when this character enters battle, that's attacking or defending. That's just whenever it's in a fucking fight, right? Which is really good. So for example, like Erajani, who's my favorite Dark Lord in the Ravenloft campaign setting, he has his own Spellfire card, and it's like, meh, he's okay. He's like a level 6 monster, which is good. Like, you don't want to use people with too high level. I know that sounds counterintuitive because that's how you win battles, is, you know, who has like the higher level count, but it's kind of like a, you know, like you, when you attack somebody in Spellfire, they put forth the defender. I mean, if they're going to defend the realm. So you attack a realm and then the defender will put forth a defender. And then whoever's level is lowest gets to play the first card. So that's really important. You want to go in playing the first card because that's so, you know, so having a high level champion isn't always a good thing, if that makes sense. I mean, that's how you win, but you also want to play the first card. So going in with a low level guy is the move a lot of times. Like going in with a lower level guy and then dropping like a dreaded ghost or something like that, that's sweet. That's like a sweet little instant kind of win combo. But anyway, yeah. So Erajani, my favorite Dark Lord of all time. In the game, in Dungeons and Dragons, he's a cleric. Wizard. He's an illusionist, I believe. So he's a cleric and he's a wizard. So it, you know, he should be able to cast wizard and cleric spells because Erajani can cast wizard and cleric spells because he's a wizard and a cleric. See how that works? In the actual game. But in Spellfire, he can do neither. He's just a level 6 Tiger Man, and his special power is pretty cool. Like when he attacks, he can pick who defends from the player's pool, which is pretty good because there's a lot of people who are like annoying in Spellfire, like a lot of cards that you'll just play a guy in your pool and he'll do his fucking wacko power and just, you know, whatever. Yeah, so that way you kind of can like pick who your opponent defends with, which is neat-ish, I guess. Not great, you know, at all. Like, come on. It's fucking Erajani, man. Give him something else. So he can't do spells. And spells are pretty big in Spellfire. You know, if you have a guy who can cast wizard and cleric spells, that's pretty cool. That's good. Because a lot of wizard spells are really good. And a lot of cleric spells in Spellfire are pretty cool. Well, really necessary. Like Wish, you know, is pretty necessary. Limited Wish for canceling events and stuff like that. Retarget is another one. Or no, wait. I think Retarget is an event. I don't fucking remember. Anyway, yeah, so my friend had this guy, and his power wasn't attacking or defending. It was just if he was in battle, period. So it was either attacking or defending. So what would happen was, whenever this motherfucker was in battle, period, end of sentence, he could take, he could use any card in any pool as an ally. So he could take any character who's currently on the table and use that as an ally during the battle. And if he loses said battle, the ally is discarded instead of him. This motherfucker got my goat so many times. So like my friend would attack with the guy and I'd be like, motherfucker. Because he'd use one of my guys as, you know what I mean? Like if I had a bunch of champions in my pool, it's kind of like, all right, I'm going to attack with him and I'm going to pick him as an ally and I lose, but your guy dies instead of him and he goes back to my pool. It's like, you motherfucker. Ooh, you weaselly little shit. But I wanted that card so bad. It was so good. It was so good. Like that guy couldn't cast spells or anything, but what a fucking special ability. That ruled. That was fucking awesome. That was great. He was really high level too. I think he was like level 9. Generally speaking, like level 10 was as high as it went. I mean, they had some like 11s. There was that mummy guy who was like a level 12 cleric or something, which was like a big deal at the time. And then they did fucking avatars, which were stupid. I never really liked the avatars much. That was pretty lame. You had to like sacrifice characters to bring, like, you must discard 15 levels worth of champions to bring this card into play or something like that. I don't know. It was kind of silly. They weren't really that great. They weren't really worth all of the trouble, but man, Spellfire was fun. It was so much fun, you know, shooting old men with smoke powder pistols. It's just kind of what we do here. Star Wars, giant table, pay 10 billion credits for a fucking karate robot who just gives up after she gets a leg sweep. Robotics, you know, maybe not where they need to be in the Star Wars universe. Shadows of the Empire, Goro, Shang Tsung, oh my gosh. We're just hitting all the bases here. Speaking of Mortal Kombat, I know I'm late to the party on this, but recently I've had this weird craving to buy the latest Mortal Kombat game, which came out like years ago. I think it was Mortal Kombat 11. I want to say 11, and Mortal Kombat and Dave go back a really long way. It's a beautiful story. It's a tale of love and lust and misadventure, let's say. And like, I love when they did, what was it? Which one was it? The 2010 one? I don't remember. It wasn't Mortal Kombat 10. It was the reboot where the story mode was like, it was like a reboot of the first three games, the storyline from the first three games. They did a stupid like time travel, alternate timeline, fucking all that nonsense they always do. But I didn't mind it so much with Mortal Kombat, only because we were like nine games into this shit. And we do need to kind of start over again. I'm always in favor of simplifying shit, right? So when that game came out and they redid the storyline of the first three games, that's fine. That's great. And now with like 11, it's more stupid timeline stuff. And my thoughts on time travel, timeline nonsense is, you know, that's when you know you're out of ideas. That's the creative tap out, right? When you see people and they go into alternate dimensions, alternate timelines, multiverse, whatever. That's the creative I give up. That's the creative I got fucking nothing. But I don't know. I really like a lot of the Mortal Kombat characters. I love the idea and the, what's the word? The setting. It's like if you take an old school karate movie and you make it all like heavy metal goth with like demons and shit. I don't know. It's just this weird mix, and it's so unique to me. And I love it. I love all the outworld shit. It just looks so fucking cool. Yeah, I just like it. So I know I'm late to the party on this because the game's been out forever. And whenever I get a new Mortal Kombat game, it's always the same. The reason why I didn't get this was because I remember when it came out, and I think I said this because I always get fooled because I'm like, oh, a new Mortal Kombat game. That's great. I'm going to get this game, and then I'm going to play it with friends I don't have. And then I sit there and I play the story mode and I beat it, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'm done with this game. I never have to do anything. So when 11 came out, I remember on YouTube, I just watched the story like on a movie. I just was like, Mortal Kombat 11 story mode. And I just sat there and I watched it and I went, oh, okay. I just saved myself $60. But, now that like the whole game is out and, you know, they have like the ultimate edition, blah, 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 where it's like all the DLC is done and out and the game's finally finished or whatever the fuck, you know, because now you can't, they bleed you like crazy with these games. It's like you can't just buy fucking NBA Jam, you know, and it's yours. Now it's like you buy a game and then they come out with, oh, look, you got to buy the extra wristband expansion that we have, and you know, this, that, and the other thing, and for just a little bit more money, and this, it's like, remember when we bought things and they were ours? Remember when people sold you whole games that were done? Those were great times, weren't they? So anyway, like, I don't want to pay full price for this. But they have like the Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate Edition and it's like $60. I don't want to pay $60 for a game that's fucking 2 years old. I mean, sure, I understand. It's got everything in it and all the DLC, and I'm sure it's blah worth it or whatever. If you look at it from a, you know, what all of it costs individually, and I'm sure I'll like it enough. I'm sure I won't regret it. But like, I was on this site called, this sounds like an ad, but it's not. this site called Green Man Gaming, and sometimes they have really, really good deals. Like I got Fallout VR for like $20-something, $25 or something like that, when normally it was like they wanted $60 for a fucking game I've already bought three times, for fuck's sake. But anyway. And I picked up some stuff like that was on sale for ridiculous prices. Like, it was so awesome. But anyway, they had the Ultimate Edition. It was on sale for something. It was something like, it was like less than $20. I think it was like $17 or something crazy like that. But it was like out of stock, and it was just a Steam code. I don't know how a code can be out of stock, but somehow that was the case. And now, like, I check every couple of days, and it's $60. I don't want to buy that. And I want it for PC. I know I realize I can get the Ultimate Edition for like PS4 for like $40, but I want it on PC. I don't want it on PlayStation. Anyway, that's my story. And Mortal Kombat 3 is stupid. It's really stupid. It's like Shao Kahn was the boss again. He looked the same. I mean, okay, like, all right, Mortal Kombat 1, you know, you fight Shang Tsung, old crusty karate wizard, and then in 2, Shang Tsung's back, but he's playable, and he's young. Like, Shao Kahn was like, you fucked up, Shang Tsung, I'm gonna beat you up real bad, and Shang Tsung's like, no, don't do that, make me young, I won't mess up this time, I promise. I don't know why Shang Tsung's accent is like that, but I think he's from, you know, Bensonhurst, I don't know where Bensonhurst is, I think it's in Minnesota somewhere, but anyway, yeah, so then Shao Kahn's like, all right, you wily sorcerer, I'll make you young again, but if you fail me again, I'll get you good. So, you know, it was cool. And then Shao Kahn was cool. He's like a big muscle guy. And then in 3, Shao Kahn looks the same. He's just the same guy, dressed the same, doing the same thing. It's like, really, huh? Just no fucks given. Just same shit. And oh, look, robot ninjas. Robot ninjas fighting in a fucking subway. Are you kidding me, guys? Mortal Kombat 3 was a joke. It was garbage. It was garbaggio. And yeah, so there have been hits and misses with Mortal Kombat for sure over the years. But goddamn, I get so nostalgic, man. Oh my god, the jump, the quantum leap from Mortal Kombat 1 to Mortal Kombat 2 on every level was so fucking good. So fucking good. I just love the story, man. I can't think of a lot of fighting games that put any kind of effort into what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, okay, why are Blanca and Ryu fighting in Street Fighter? Because they want to find out who's the best. Because the streets are tough. So you want to find out who's the best fighter of the streets. So you have a monster man from Brazil fighting a Japanese man for some reason. And there you have it. There is no story. Street Fighter 2 is just, you know, well, any of them, I guess. There's no it's just like, why are they all fighting? It's a tournament. I don't know. And I don't know. I just, Mortal Kombat, I'm interested. I'm like, what? Okay, what's going on? Like, what's happening? Oh, it's cool. It's neat. Outworld looks cool as fuck. Melina's hot. She's crazy and ugly, you know? Yeah, that's the one you want. You go with the crazy, ugly sister. She's going to be wild. You're going to have so much fun with the crazy, ugly one. I'm going to end up spending $60 for a fucking 2-year-old game. And I know I'm going to hate myself. I'm going to hate myself because I know I'm going to check back on the site after I buy it at full price and it's going to be on sale, and I'm going to take my wrist and I'm going to slap it and then I'm going to immediately split my pants and call it a day.